Yeah, can you hear it? Oh, yeah, good. Oh. All right, we're continuing our sermon series on Jesus and relationship. And as we launch our small groups at Life Creek, this is where relationship with one another happens. This is, you know, and as we launch our small group, I'm sure a lot of you are probably like looking at your schedule. You know, at least the young adults were planning on maybe having it on a Thursday and a Friday. And you get looking at your schedule and can I schedule small group in? You know, like, do I have time? Or do I want to even invest the time in a small group? Because it takes some work, right? Can I gently say, I don't know if I can gently say this, but small group and the relationship that we have with one another, a close relationship, is not, you should not say, oh, do I have time for this? This is a must. You know, I don't have time to go over the early church, but the early church, they met frequently, and instead of like dragging your feet to go into a small group, when you look at the early church, they loved hanging out with one another, you know? And the purpose was building relationship, helping one another, getting to know each other. So last week was understanding each other. And we looked at last week that understanding one another doesn't take you trying your best, okay? Understanding, truly understanding one another is you need help. You need Jesus who truly understands sympathies, truly understands you and me, and we minister to one another in small group contexts in the name of Jesus because he understands you and me. The next thing that Jesus helps us in our relationship with one another, as Elder Frank read, is love. Love. I am convinced, I think I said this before, I am convinced that most people, especially married couples, whether you are just got married or you've been married for a long time or not married, wanting to get married or dating or wanting to date, do not understand love. Can I boldly say that? I did not get married to Tasia because I truly understood what love is. This is what love is not. And perhaps what most of people think love is. Love is not compatibility. You like to watch movies? So do I. You like to travel? I do too. Let's hang out. You like sports? So do I. You like eating out? I do too. And so because of this compatibility, okay, that's what a lot of people think love is, being compatible. You get along, you know? You could do things together and enjoy doing things together. And that's good, but that's not what love is. Love also is not mutual, can I say this? Mutual attraction. I like you and you like me. I mean, I hope people who are married are like that. I was telling Brian the other day, as we were playing, you know, hanging out with him and playing golf, and there's two criterias of, you know, to consider if you want to marry someone, okay? I have just really very simple, just two. I asked the person, does she like you? And then he says, I think so. Do you like her? Like, yeah. Well, it is good, okay? You want to marry someone that you like, okay? It doesn't work when you like someone and then the other person doesn't like you back. I mean, that was the story of my life before I met Tasia. You know, I liked someone and they didn't like me back. And the chopping method didn't work. And the chopping method, like, be persistent, right? Keep trying, chop her down, and they eventually she will fall. Well, it didn't work with, a couple girls before I met Tasia. I was interested in and liked my wife. I met her at a mission trip, took a bunch of college students to Brazil, went to the Amazon, took a boat 24 hours into the Amazon, and we just kind of served the Indians there in the Amazon region. And as soon as I saw her doing this, we were worshiping God every night, and she was like, just passion, singing to God. And I said, that's the kind of woman I want to marry. So I liked her. Of course I liked her. And when I got back to the U.S., she emailed me. And I really thought that the reason she emailed me was because in Brazil, like, American culture and the language is, like, really popular. Like, they kind of want to be like the U.S. and learn the language. So I thought she emailed me because she wanted to, like, practice English on me, And then she wrote me a long email, and then I emailed her back, and then we did that for a little bit. And then one email, she said, do you do this with other girls? And so, I'm not that stupid, okay? N-O, capital N-O, no. I'm interested too. I like you too. You like me, I like you. Well, that is not what love is. Mutual affection toward one another. Love also is not having the same goals. Can I bold to say, just because she's a Christian or she's interested in Christianity and you are and you have same goals, that's not what love is. Let's get married. That's what I did, right? I mean, I don't want to marry a non-Christian. I want to marry a Christian. And that's biblical too. Do you love Jesus? I love Jesus. Let's get married. Compatibility, mutual affection, same goals is not what true love is. So I am pretty convinced most people who think about marriage or married, they don't get married because they truly love each other. And I confess, even myself. That'd be an example. Anyway, what is true love? What is love? Not what the world tells you. Not what you see in Korean drama or any other drama. Or I didn't really see the latest movie, the Asian movie that was really popular. What was it called? Asian, Want to Marry Asian? Or what? Crazy Asians? Oh, Crazy Rich Asian. I didn't see it, but I heard it was a hit, and there was like a love scene or story, and it's not, I never watched the movie, but it's not what Crazy Rich Asians movies say what love is. I'm sure Hollywood got it wrong. They will say one of these, compatibility, like each other, same goals. And so, what is love? And we don't have to guess. It's what Paul says here about husband loving their wives just like Christ loved the church. And the first thing that he says off the bat in verse 25 is this. This is what love is. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So I know this is about like husband and wife, and maybe if you're single and you're college, you're like tuning me off. What? No, don't tune me off. This is how you should love the married couples, how you should love each other, the whole church, how Christ loved the church is all of you should love each other this way. This is what love is. And what is it? He gave himself up for her. Love is giving up. Love, in 1 John, it says, is sacrificial. And long time ago, if you remember, I gave an example of what sacrificial looked like in Elder Frank's life. Remember, he gave up his dream to not to have kids. Remember? Because he has like 30 brothers and sisters. You know what I mean? And you know what life is like with 30 brothers and sisters? I don't know if it's 30, it was like 20, or I forget. And so, no kids, right? And of course, Kiowa wanted kids, and Elder Frank gave up his desire. He gave up what he wanted, which is no kids. He gave up his interest. He gave up his joy so that he sacrificed all that so that his wife or your brothers and sisters will have. That's what love is. Love is giving up your interests, your wants, your deep desires, your joy, your wants, desires, and joy of another, whether it's a wife or a spouse or each other at church. I know I keep talking about my wife, Tasia, but that's really personal to me, and you know, I could talk about that freely, you know, instead of picking on one of you guys. I always ask her, like, can I talk about this? And so, yeah, don't worry. My wife, Tasia, you know, a lot of you guys know she's from Brazil. She looks kind of Korean, but she's really not Korean. She's Japanese, born in Brazil. And so when you ask her, oh, you know, who are you? I'm Brazilian. And so when there's like a World Cup, she does not, you know, root for Japan. Okay, she roots for Brazil. Okay, and that's her country. She kind of like gets really all emotional when she watches Brazil. I mean, last time, I think last, not this coming World Cup, but the World Cup before, I think they lost to like Germany by like 8-0. And I kid you not, Tasia cried. Like, you know, is that, like, soccer is like that crazy in Brazil. When we went to the mission trip, remember a long time ago, it was during World Cup. And then everything shut down. When Brazil played, no one works. Literally, they shut down for half a day, whatever, when Brazil plays, and then when it's over, they go back to work. So soccer is pretty big there. And of course, she met me, right? And obviously, I try to woo her, and she liked me, and I liked her, you know, and we got married in Brazil. And the more I think about this, the more I'm amazed. You know, Tasia, my wife, she left the only country that she knows, okay, Brazil. I mean, she's like fifth generation Japanese Brazilian, you know. And so even though she's not like blood like Brazil, but it's she is Brazilian. She left the only country that she knows for me. You know? She left her family. Not just her country, she left her family. All her family. All her cousins. She left all her friends for me. I mean, she sacrificed, gave up country, family, her friends. She gave up the church that she was really involved with. She left her job at this pharmaceutical company. She could have climbed the ranks, you know. I mean, she pretty much left everything for me. Um, That's what love is. Is to give up what you're comfortable with. Is to sacrifice. And I'm gonna. I didn't really get Sharon's permission, but you know, when we ask her, you know, what she left for Wisconsin, you know, it's she said cockroaches. Okay. A lot of cockroaches in Georgia, and so she came to Wisconsin where there's no cockroaches, you know. But I know that's, you know, it's part truth, but I mean, even Sharon, you know, she left where she grew up, you know, right? To marry this guy next to her, you know, right? Left her family, right? Left her church. I mean, pretty much everything to come and marry Brian. To give up all that. And I thought to myself, could I do that for Tasia? Leave my job and go to live in Brazil, crying out loud? Brazil. You know, when I visited there like 4 times, I did not like Brazil. I just wasn't familiar with it. The culture, the food, the language, the customs. Well, what am I going to do there? I don't even speak Portuguese. Could I do that? Leave everything. And I honestly thought, even though she did that for me, if she asked me, let's go to Brazil, I'd be like, uh-uh. Like, no way. No way. I mean, how's the economy in Brazil? You know what I mean? Every time I ask their parents, they Skype, I ask them, oh, how's Brazil doing? They always say, oh, terrible. The government is corrupt. I don't know what that means, but yeah, like I guess there's corrupt government officials. Could I do that? Could you do that for one another here? To give up what you want, the comforts of what you want. Could you do that? You know, when we go in a fellowship time, right? This is not a huge give up, but you know, when you go to a fellowship, you're kind of comfortable with who you're comfortable with, right? I always see like the college, you know, little table. They're comfortable there, right? And you see the young adults all sitting on one table. They're comfortable there. And you see like all the married couples, right? Like my age. You know, I see like Judy, you know, and Tammy, James, and the other older, you know, and Lee and his family, his wife, you know, and older folks. And I know this is like small, but could you leave? You're thinking, should I do that afterwards? But could you leave your little group and go and talk to the college group? Sit there and try to make a conversation? Would you sacrifice the comforts of your little table and do that? You know what I mean? I don't know, you want to stay with the young adults or the married couples. This is what Jesus did. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, look at it. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that set before him, he what? He endured the cross. Whose joy is he talking about here? Your joy, my joy. He sacrificed and went to the cross for you and I. That's what he did. Despising the shame. Being on the cross is pretty shameful. Have you seen a picture of the cross? And a lot of the picture these days is kind of off. Usually, like, there's some clothing on Jesus. Well, there was no clothing. It was a shameful act, okay? Actually, the cross was kind of eye level. You know, a lot of crosses you see, like, it's like really high up. It wasn't like that. It was literally, you could actually spit on their face. That's what they did. You could actually touch people who were crucified back in the Roman days. And to shame them even more, they all were all naked. They didn't have a little cloth, you know, hiding their, you know, their, yeah. the private parts, you know? The embarrassing part. That's what Jesus did for your and my joy. He sacrificed his life, his integrity for you and me. Could you? Could you do that for one another here? That's what relations is going to work. It doesn't work when we don't do that. So I ask you, Life Creek, do you want that for one another? It'd be beautiful. It'd be life-giving to the community of this Oak Creek and Milwaukee. If each of us understood what love is and we actually did it. We actually understood one another through Christ. And we gave up things for each other because we love each other. Because we are a family. We sacrifice for each other. Not just for husband and wife, for each other. Love is, number two, is in verses. So first, love is to give up. Second, is found in verse 26 and 27. Look at it. Verse 26, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed by her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, that she might be sanctified. In other words, holy, without blemish. Love is sanctify. Love is holy. Love is saying the hard thing, but it's true with love. And just in the husband and wife context, you husbands, listen up. One of your job in your house, okay, is to not to point the faults of your husband, of your wife, or vice versa. One of your role in your house is to be a minister to your wife. What does it say? He says what? With the word. Sanctify her with the truth. That's your job. That is your calling in the home. And that is a calling as a church. As a church. You know, one of my... maybe it wasn't in the description when I applied to Life Creek, but one of my job description is use my gift to make you holy. And you know what that word holy means? The word holy doesn't mean just without sin. It does mean that. Most people equate being holy with no sin. It means more than that. It's not just point finger at each other and what your sin is. The word holy, and we actually sang it. We sang that word. The word holy wasn't there at that word, in that song, but the word holy is not just without sin. The word holy is you are all in for God. You are 100% devoted to God and nothing else. Then you and I are holy. When there is no wrinkles, there is no blemish. That's why we do small group. Small group is really an extension of the church, an extension of Christ's arm, Christ's mouth to one another. If, I know you guys don't really know me right now, but if I honestly, as a pastor, not to just to fill this room and say, oh man, look what I did, you know, but if I honestly went to you because I care for you, I really do, because I want you to be like this. That's what Christ wants. Not just for my wife, but everyone here. And if I, not just picking on your sin, but talk about 100% devotion to God, work on that. Get better every week, every month, every year. And so it's like, oh, what are you picking on me for? Tim? P-Tim? Would you be open to listening? And hopefully I'll be too. You know, if you call that on me, on something, I'll be open to correction. I'll be open to rebuke, to be humble that way. I have long ways to go, right? If I think I'm already perfect, I'm gonna be all defensive. I need help. I have problems. My life is a mess. Ask my wife. I mean, seriously. I know you guys look all clean and nice and smell good right now, okay? My wife is not very impressed with me. Do you know why? I mean, you might be. I'm the pastor here. I'm the holy one here. I'm the minister of the word. And I scream at people, you know? But my wife truly knows me. She knows all my wrinkles. She knows the messiness in me. She's not very impressed. I always ask her almost every Sunday, Tasia, how was the sermon? You know? And every time, almost like 99% of the time, she's like, oh, it was good. That's it! Yeah, she's more impressed, not, you know, the 30, 40-minute sermon or powerful sermon I get, but it's what I do as a husband, as a father, you know, during Monday through Saturday. Then she gets impressed. I really get encouraged when my wife, you know, right now it's fairly busy. You know, we have a 6-week-old and 2 little ones, and then we have a house to unpack and clean and all that stuff and things to fix. Good night. I was talking to a couple of you guys, and God, don't buy a house. You know, like, there's so much things to do. You know, mow the grass. I haven't mowed the grass in 20 some years. The last time I mowed the grass was in high school to make a few bucks, you know, to go to 7-Eleven, buy baseball cards or something like that. And I looked at the, you know, lawnmowers. Lawnmowers are expensive. You know, like, it's like for like a decent one, it's like $200-$300. And then you gotta like buy like ladders. You know, there's like we have a lamp that's like, I can't even reach it. It's like 20 feet up in the ceiling. I'm gonna get there and look at the Amazon to get like a ladder for like 20 whatever to reach it. It's like $200, $150. So it adds up, guy. It adds up. Like, and I need to clean the gutter because I don't want my house to flood, you know? Calling Elder Frank, like, how do you clean the gutters? He's like, oh, 20-foot ladder. 20-foot ladder? I'm gonna die. And so a lot of things to do, and, you know, we're busy. But when I see my wife opening her Bible, you know, and reading it, okay, I love that. I get so encouraged by that. She's not like me, like, I have to, you know, I'm a pastor, I get paid to read the Bible, you know? She didn't get paid to read the Bible. And she reads it. And she gets, you know, and she takes my rebuke. I often tell my wife, gently though, your life is not the kids, honey. Okay? They're second. Okay? Your life, first is your relationship with the Bible and God. God. And I'll tell her that, remind her that, because she gets so busy, you know, with the kids. And you can see why, right? Pretty much all her life from morning to night is kids. And that's going to happen to like 18. 18 years of no growth? No way! No. That's not going to happen in our family. If she wants to go to a women's conference, go. Please go. Or whatever, time to read the Bible, go do it. I'll stay home and watch the kids. In an environment to encourage that kind of a spiritual growth of holiness. That's what love is. Love is not just husband and wife but with one another. You know, when you guys meet in a small group, encourage one another in holiness, okay? In spiritual growth, sanctify each other with the truth. You see why even in small group, this has to be the center of the small group, any kind of group in the church. This truth will lay at the sin, the selfish desire, and you will kill it. Is this not what I say? It's what I say through this. That has the power. Who cares what I say? Who cares about my opinions? That's what it sounds like, but not the word. If I'm truthful to the word, it has power. I know it. It changes people. I can't change you. Only Christ and his word truly transforms you. So you need to, in your busy schedule, I know you guys are busy. I know we got things to do. But you got to make the Bible a huge part of your life every year. Start somewhere. Guys, young adults, I know you're busy. Work, traveling. And after when you come back from work and you eat, you just don't want to read the Bible. It takes some discipline. It takes some encouragement with one another in small group, your spouse. Gentle rebuke, gentle correction. Like I did with my wife. Honey, your life can't be your kids. You got to devote every day to this. That's important. That's love. That's love. You know, a lot of you guys, some of you guys might not want to be involved in a small group because you do this. You know, I want some distance. You know, don't get too close because you're going to see all the messiness. You're going to see my fears. You're going to see my insecurities. And that does not make me uncomfortable. Make me comfortable. It makes me uncomfortable. And so there's some people at church that come on Sunday, but they do this. They don't get too close. You know, you're going to know too much of me and you're not going to like me. I hope that does not happen in this church. I'm screwed up inside and you are too. And so it's good. This is what a church should be, not just life group, but church should be for sinners, you know, messed up people who needs help, who just can't do it on their own. So no matter what kind of background you have, what you did in the past, who cares? I can't solve it, but Christ can in our relationship with one another. Amen? The third, go quickly here. What is love? The third is in the text. Look at verse 28 and following. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. Have you noticed that about you? Right? You love yourselves. I love myself. Even all the like the weaknesses or like blemishes. You know, I've got to lose some weight. Oh, but that looks cute. You know? No, when when I go home, visit my parents and my sisters in Northern Virginia, they always, I mean, I know they do it out of care and love, like, you need to lose weight. You're obese. I'm not obese. I don't know what obese people look like. But actually, when I went to get a physical, the doctor told me I was like, I don't know, some graph or something. Like he said, I was like almost the verge of being obese for my height and whatever my age. I'm like, that graph, that thing is wrong, dude. I mean, and he only told me what I already knew. It's like, oh, you know, how do I lose weight? It's like, oh, what do you like to do? Basketball? Well, yeah, why don't you play that? Oh, thank you. Charge me $500. Like, I already knew that, doctor. Okay. Wait, why did I even say that? I don't know. Anyway, so love each other like as you love yourself. Like, are you passionate about your interests, your career? Yes, you are. That's why you studied. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, not look only for your interests, what? But also what? Interests of the church. Others. Are you passionate about something? About you? Be as passionate, not about what you want to do and your interest. Be intense and passionate about others. You take your blemishes of you and you make it a positive. Well, do that. Do that with other people. Not say, oh man, that person, you know, did this and did that. Is an attitude like that, I think, really hinders others from joining small groups and opening up and to be ministered to one another, you know? Don't be shocked. Don't think you're all perfect. You don't probably don't even know yourself. Not just your own interests, but the interests of other. Your passion should be as passionate, not just about you and your body and your well-being, but passionate and intense about others' well-being and interest. That's what love is. And that's what Christ demonstrated for us. And that's what Christ is calling us to do. It is impossible apart from him, you know, to give up, right? To be holy, 100% devotion to God. And to love not just your own interest, passion about you, but be as passionate, as equal passionate about other people. You try that on your own, it doesn't work. You won't work. You'll never work. Church cannot work just by ourselves, planning and strategizing and money. Doesn't work that way. You could try it, but you will fail. You might be successful, seems like successful for 2 or 3 years, but it's going to start coming out. It won't work. Only Christ makes, helps in those relationships. He does the impossible in and through us. Amen? Please, we will launch small group, okay? But don't think just because we have small group it's going to work and we're going to understand one another and we're going to love each other. We got to do it in the name of Jesus, in the name of Christ. And so it will take also that you will know who Jesus is. He is not just your Savior and Lord and period and close your Bible. He's massive. He's the creator of heaven and earth. Infinite names that Jesus has that reveal who he is and what he does for us. Do you know him? Do you know him to give offer solutions to other people's problem? Not just pat answers, because you know Christ and he has. He can do it. Not just understand, sympathize, share the feelings and experiences, but also extend true love, not just husband and wives, but to one another. Oh, may God help us. May we pray like crazy for this to happen at Life Creek. Just people who are here right now, right here who are listening to me and the words of Paul, that we will pray that this will happen. Okay? Not just self-forcing it, but that Christ would, we're sensitive to his leading. He wants us this to happen. And that we will do church, small group relationship with one another through Jesus, who truly can love through us, who truly can understand each other, okay? And really, really help each other. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, you call us to do things that are out of our power and out of our reach. So that we might completely depend upon not ourselves. We will fail every time. Husband and wife relationship will fail. Relationship in the church will fail. Relationship outside of the church will fail because we're not truly understanding, knowing one another, and able to love each other the way it will be successful, not only successful, but it will be beautiful. And it works. All of your works that you call us works through your Son, Jesus. With him, all things are possible. And so, may our church, the leaders and the members, get on board with Jesus. Not try harder. That's not the answer. That's not the solution. But the solution is Jesus, who truly understands people. And we come on his name. Who truly can love, give up, sacrifice he has for us, the church, his people. Who was holy without sin and gave up his sinless body that he loved, his Father loved for our sake. Father in heaven, may that spirit, that understanding powerfully land on Life Creek. Every single soul here, I pray. Those who are not here, help us so that we might really do church as you called us to do. And that would attract others who are hungry for that. Because they don't get that out in the world. Out in the world is cutthroat. Out for themselves, trample on others to succeed. May Life Create not be like that. That we would do without for their sake. Because we know that you will take care of us. You're our Father. You know us. I pray. All this, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen.